Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. It is such a great, great blessing to be with you once again live on blogtalkradio.com on Elevated Places. As you know, Elevated Places has become the place to be every Thursday evening as we engage in high levels of conversation centered around freedom, justice, and equality for the 40-plus descendants of slaves here in the United States of America. And we as a black community share a common history, a common ancestry, and a common experience. And one of the central core elements of our discussion is always the need for and our clear ability to grow economically self-sufficient. And economic power affects everything. It affects the quality of our life, our communities, our ability to provide ourselves and our children with the type of environment and surroundings that they need to flourish, proper education, proper diet, and the list just goes on and on. And so it's a blessing to be with you again. Now, this evening, I guess only thing I can say about Donald Sterling is the owner of the Clippers is that he's the gift that keeps on giving. But before we get to the discussion around that 21st century slave system and the NBA as a microcosm of it, let me remind you that we are blessed to be streaming live on KBOL in Waterloo, Iowa. And you can also hear me every Sunday live right here in Chicago, WVON, the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM. And for those of you that are all over the country, not to worry, WVON.com streams it live. And you can just download the iHeart app onto your smartphone or your tablet and hear one of the hottest urban talk radio stations in the country. That's where Minister Farrakhan comes on the Cliff Kelly Show, to deliver his important messages. Now, I am always delighted and blessed when I can have two of the most brilliant brothers that you can know, Brother Terrence Muhammad and Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Dr. Ridgely, of course, is the Elevated Places analyst and contributor, and Brother Terrence Muhammad is my wonderful co-host, and I'm so glad they're with us tonight. And we're going to open up shortly, and we have a very special guest for the top of the show who is going to share with us something that I think you will be as impressed with and desirous of supporting as I was when I learned of it. But first of all, Brother Terrence, Dr. Ridgely, assalamu alaikum to you both.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. So, Brother Terrence, it's up to you to get us on the mark and up to date. What is going on?
Well, you know, it's always interesting. Before I got on the call, and I was like, well, I really don't have anything for tonight. And then I started writing down things, and there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on that, you know, we want to make sure that our listeners know about, and we definitely definitely want to thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we want to praise be to Allah for his mother, Sister Samaya, who birthed him. And we know this past Sunday he celebrated his 81st birth anniversary. A man who is younger, younger, and younger, and younger. And, you know, I can never ever say I'm doing enough when I look at what he is doing and not what he has done. He is not looking at a civil rights leader. He is a man who is leading us right now, not telling about the good old days, but he is still on the battleground. And we're going to hear the beautiful spirit of his heart through his violin. And we're going to be hearing him play his violin at the Charles H. Wright Museum this Sunday at 6 p.m. They're doing a major fundraiser for the museum. You can go to their website, thewright.com, and learn more about this event this Sunday at 6 p.m. with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and a host of other wonderful brothers and sisters that will be performing. I'm also right now not in an undisclosed location, but I am in that great city where the historic mosque number one is. We had a wonderful time last night at study group here in the great city of Detroit, Michigan. And also on this Sunday, we're going to be blessed, or my region, the Mid-Atlantic region, the Mid-Atlantic regional headquarters, Mosque number four, will be blessed with the presence of our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, this Sunday. So you do not want to miss this powerful lecture by her this Sunday at Mosque number four. That's 11 a.m. Eastern time. So we want to make your way to Pennsylvania Avenue to hear Dr. Ava Muhammad. Also, we have the Youth Summit coming up June 13th through the 15th. And anybody interested in a Youth Summit out in Houston, June 13th through the 15th, can go to noisahouston.com, noisahouston.com. And I want to give a shout-out to our brothers at New, the brothers that performed for us at Savior's Day and was on, I guess it was X Factor. At New got a new video out, so you want to check them out, Owe Me Love. And we also want to give a major, major shout-out to all of the residents of Newark, New Jersey, who has a new mayor in Ross Baraka. Ross Baraka won the seat for mayor of Newark, New Jersey, and all of the brothers and sisters are wearing shirts saying, "I am the mayor," because if he's mayor, they feel and they have said that they are the mayor, because he is the people's champ. So we congratulate Ross Baraka after the transition of his father, Amir Baraka, this year. Also, we want to remember, and don't ever forget, we remember 1921 Tulsa, Oklahoma, but we do not want to forget about the other bombing in our country of the MOVE organization of May 13th, 1985. That just passed, the remembrance of the MOVE bombing in Philadelphia. And last but not least, I will never be forgetful, and I am so grateful for those that was involved, Brother Rashad, Brother Willie, Brother Jesse, and all those that was involved to hear the testimony of the women of God on this past Saturday. I have to say, Dr. Ava, yourself, Sister Mary Alice, Sister Fatima Farrakhan, Sister Aisha, Sister Donna, even some of the words of Brother Ishmael, I thank Brother Jesse Muhammad for tweeting out the words and the testimonies that y'all gave at the Salam restaurant, your restaurant in Chicago. I was crying and in tears just reading the text messages or the tweet that Brother Jesse put out. And a lot of other brothers and sisters across the country were in tears just reading the Twitter message that Brother Jesse put out. Go to Brother at Brother Jesse and also go to at Dr. Ava Muhammad. But Brother Jesse has all of those tweets about the words that y'all spoke, speaking on different aspects of the life of Minister Farrakhan. And I would just say, just as I grew up in the church, we used to have testimony services, I would just beg and encourage those that know that these teachings and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have moved them, have touched them, to testify. You don't have to use the hour and a half for this show, but you can go testify to somebody of the goodness and the works of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan he has done to people, and he has touched all over the world. And back to you, Dr. Ava.
Yes, thank you so much for that incredible report. And now, without any further delay, I want to move us to a very special guest who is joining us tonight. And, you know, we're people that come on this show, we're about action. We're not only about theory, we're about application. And we know that our young people are in great need of our guidance and our protection. And so it really gives me great pleasure that this wonderful, wonderful sister who definitely has a full plate has taken time to come and visit us on Elevated Places. And the sister that I am talking about is Sister Tamar Manasseh. She is the founder and president of Mothers Against Senseless Killings, known as MASK, M-A-S-K for short. Now, MASK is a new Chicago-based organization created by mothers who have elected to take an active role in the fight against the violence and the salvation of their children and all children in our communities. And callers, listeners, I don't have to tell you that barely a week goes by, particularly in the major cities, Chicago, Atlanta, Los Angeles, New York, where we don't hear of the tragic and senseless loss of a young person. Death by violence is horrific at any age, but we are not really comprehending what it is doing to our future, that we are losing our offspring, who are our future, before they are even reaching the age of 18 and 21. And it's got to stop. And so I am very pleased to welcome Sister Tamar. She was with me on WVON on Sunday. She was phenomenal. And so I thank her for coming on. Sister Tamar, welcome to Elevated Places on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Sister Muhammad. I really appreciate that. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, and now that I'm talking to you, knowing you are out here, it just makes me feel even better. And I wanted you to introduce the Blog Talk listeners to MASK because it's so powerful and innovative that we become proactive and not only reactive. And,
yes.
And when we
yes.
get news of a loss, then there we are at a funeral, but is there anything we can do to slow that down? And that's the question.
Yeah. Well, I have to believe that simply exists because I believe that there is something that we can do to slow this down and to even make it stop.
Yes.
MASK is, like you said, it's Mothers Against Senseless Killing. And basically, I'm not a politician. No interest in running for public office ever. I am just a concerned mother. I am probably what people would call a helicopter mom. And there were so many organizations. I have two teenage children, a son and a daughter. My son is 15 and my daughter is 18. And I do a lot of research. I read. I watch the news, national, local, world, everywhere. I try to be pretty abreast of what's going on. And there were no organizations that worked. I just didn't see any that were saving lives. If anything, I saw things getting worse. So the only thing that I could think to do was keep them safe myself. And that's why I started MASK, because I feel like there is a power that mothers have, that women have. And I feel that we haven't really tapped into that. And I think that that may be the thing that's needed to make all of the difference.
And I can share, of course, many of the listeners know that, you know, we are taught in the Nation of Islam that a nation can rise no higher than its woman. It is without anybody's ability to refute that every single one of us, male and female, comes into this world through the womb of a woman.
Yes.
And it is so critical that our children understand that we love them, we care about them, and we are not going to tolerate this. And I'm glad you changed or added, like you said, not just slow it down. We need to bring this to a halt. And I think any other people on Earth would consider the constant loss of life that we're suffering a crisis. It's almost as though we need to come to a complete halt with everything else
yes.
that we're doing until we take care of this. You have
yes.
something coming up in June, and then there's a couple of people that wanted to ask you some questions, some callers. But I wanted you to talk about what is coming up in June.
Well, June 1st, we were supposed to have a picnic Mother's Day, but because of weather, it was postponed. But we're actually having a picnic on Mother's Day, and the picnic is actually going to be held in a park where one of our sons lost his life. And he was a young, bright kid, an athlete. He was going to be a basketball phenom. He was, a really great kid, and he was gunned down senselessly for absolutely no reason. And what we wanted to do was we wanted to have something very positive in a place where something very negative happened to symbolize new life, life after death. What do we want this kid? What do we want his life to mean? We want it to mean that, you know, we can rise from the ashes, we can come back, we can be better, we can fix this, we can save lives. And we wanted to do something very positive in a place where something very negative happened, because there are so many of those kind of places in our community. There are too many now. So
yes.
we wanted to do that there, in that spot. And in addition, just since last time we spoke, Dr. Muhammad, a member of the Chicago City Council has actually introduced a piece of legislation that Mass set forward. And it looks like it's moving through and we're gaining support for it. It's actually called the Gun Safety and Violence Prevention Act, where basically we're asking that gun safety be taught in public schools in Illinois as early as preschool. Because if there are more guns in the homes legitimately because of new gun laws, and you have to teach it to kids the same way you would stranger danger, sex education, or driver's ed, because there are so many more guns in the homes now. When mom or dad can sit their gun on the kitchen table next to their cell phone, now you have to talk to kids about it, because we can't take for granted that parents are having these conversations. So we must find a place where we can start talking to our children about this, and that place has to be in the school. It has to be. So it looks like it's going to move through in Chicago, and we're really hoping that we can see, you know, it move through maybe on the state and the federal level as well.
Well,
so
we'll actually be
kind of celebrating that on
yeah.
the first.
Yeah, you are so inspiring, and we've got people lining up. So we don't want the segment to end without you talking to some of our callers.
Yes, okay.
All right.
Sure, go ahead.
So
anyway,
all right, Brother Keith is on the line. He's calling that's Atlanta area. And Brother Keith, welcome to Elevated Places. You're live, and we have Sister Tamara with us on the line.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister and Dr. Avon. Welcome to the sister. I consider this sister almost like a breath of fresh air that, you know, you don't necessarily got to wait on a black man for everything. A black woman can get up and take care of business herself. So I just wanted to give, respect and honor and, you know, encouragement to the sister. Keep on keeping on. And, you know, if you ever need some soldiers, you know, you always got the upper
wire
to come back you up. And
we do, and we definitely need that. Thank you so much for your support. And, yes, we do. The black woman needs the black man. Yes, we do.
That's right. And as Brother Keith just pointed out, and I'm making a note of it, the FOI, the Fruit of Islam, we're not going to have our sisters out and not have them protected. And the whole point is to make a statement that this will not be tolerated. See, it doesn't help me if my son or daughter is shot in the head. It doesn't make me feel better if it was a cop, somebody their age, a drive-by, accidental. You know, when I hear the news and they'll say, well, it was gang-related, it wasn't gang-related. What the point of the matter is, a life has been snuffed out for no reason. And we, as a community, have to say, we're not tolerating this anymore. All right, brother, thank you so much, Brother Keith. We've got Brother Sidney, and we're going to open up his line. Brother Sidney, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places. You are live.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen, and all praise due to Allah for your show. It's a blessing.
Thank you.
I was taught where there's smoke, there's fire, and I'm having a concern about May 1st that this young guy, like 16 years old, he raped and choked and pretty much about to kill this little girl, and his brother stepped up to defend him. He was about 9 years old, and what the guy did, he beat the little boy with a brick and choked him and murdered him. And it was planned by a railroad track. And my concern is, when can we detect all these children with these violence acts? And what are we doing as role models and parents to make sure we don't be in a savage way to raise savage children?
Well, I think it's definitely the village. And I think definitely we've gotten away from that mentality. I don't know if it's popular culture or what, but we traditionally, as people of African descent, we do have a village mentality. And when we got away from that, we saw a problem. Because perhaps there is a high concentration of mental illness in our community.
That's right.
But it is just like it is in all communities, and we don't necessarily confront that. You know, sometimes counseling isn't macho, or it's not like you're crazy if you go talk to somebody and you seek help or something like that. So sometimes people just don't. But even still, sometimes parents don't know. And sometimes it may be a neighbor who's going to have to step up and parent the neighbor's kids. It may have to be a member of clergy who's going to have to step up and parent someone else's kids. Sometimes we all have to parent someone else's kids. We have to do it. We have to be active in the lives of our neighbors' children, because ultimately their children are active in the lives of our own. So Basically, we have to definitely mother each other's children and father each other's children. We have to do that. And when you see things like this happen, it is because no one noticed. No one paid attention, and no one saw this problem coming. No one saw this kid becoming, you know, detached from reality, or, you know, becoming dark, or no one saw that. But if maybe a neighbor was paying attention, or a grandparent or somebody, this wouldn't have happened. So I really do believe that we really need to get more active in the lives of our children, our neighbors' children, the children in our congregations, children. We have to do it.
Yes, and you know, parenting is not, it's not for lazy people. It's a 24/7 active role.
It's a contact sport
one plays. Yeah, and I think that in this era, like you mentioned, culture, we have given our children away. We've given them to filthy music, videos. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the dominant motive is, what can I do to keep them quiet?
Yeah.
The same mentality is in the school. You don't have the interest, because we're not neighborhoods anymore. You don't have the neighborhood school where the teachers are also your parents' friends, which is the way I grew up. And so there's no personal interest in that child's development into an adult. And, you know, I remember Sunday, you also talked about the generational breakdown and the disconnect.
Definitely.
Because back in the day, you know, unless it was a last resort, when our parents became infirm and elderly, we didn't put them in places.
No.
You had two or three generations in a household or visiting. We grew up knowing our grandparents, and I loved what you said Sunday, that grandparents are living history, you know, and they
sit down and
tell it, you know, from a book or not some blob or a paragraph that some person wrote, but I was there when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was there when that happened. That is what garners the children's attention. And I agree with you that this was, as many of our children do, they slip through the cracks. And so if they don't have that home environment, we have a duty. We have a duty to pick up the slack wherever we can. But I'm going to try to get one more question in tomorrow before we end our segment.
Okay.
Because you got people inspired, and we thank a lot.
You know,
for
I
you.
Hope they're inspired enough to get active. That's what this is going to
yes.
say. This is going to we're going to have to
tell
get
the story.
Active. Yes, that's what
yeah,
it's going to
we got to get out
yeah.
here.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get out here. Sister Barbara is calling in. Sister Barbara, welcome back to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, I
apologize that I really didn't call on the subject that she's talking about, but I can speak on that subject because
yes,
I was a teacher for 30 years. And
mm-hmm.
and a lot of things is working against the parents far as their children's concerned, because first, the children spend more time in school than they spend at home. And so the parents
right.
have to act in the schools because the teachers have great deal of influence on their children. Caucasian women like to teach the preschool, first, second, and third grade, and then they don't want to teach the children older than that. And what they do to the little black boys in schools is so damaging on them, and that's the reason why so many young black boys decide by the time they're in the fourth grade they're going to quit school. So the parents have to be in the school. They should volunteer, whatever. They have to be in the school because and even the curriculum is against them. It's not teaching them
that's
anything
right.
about self and mm-hmm. their black history self and stuff. And if the parents are not teaching them and the churches they go to is not teaching them about who they are and to help build up their self-esteem, and they go into school every day and the teacher's tearing down their self-esteem the way she talks to them and call them
right.
stupid and give them stupid work to do. So the parents have to be more involved in the school. The children spend so many hours there. And
that is so crucial. Yes.
Yes.
The daytime learning hours that the child is actually and Sister Barbara, we'll hold you so you can come back and comment on the next segment as
okay.
well. And thank you for that insight. But I think she's raising a very good point, Sister Tamar, about the
vigilance. I agree. My son is homeschooled.
That's what I'm talking about.
I homeschooled my son. And he's
yes.
15, and I've homeschooled him, and we're testing him for college next year. I could not. It's like I said before, it was too important. The safety of my children was too important for me that I had to go and start an organization to protect them and to protect other children because I felt those needs weren't being met. Just like I felt that my son wasn't getting what he needed in public school. He wasn't getting what he needed. He wasn't getting what I wanted him to have. So if I wanted him to have it, I had to give him what I wanted him to have. It's always about being the change that you want to see in the world. I kind of live by that. So it's not a necessarily talking the talk thing. It's a walking the walk. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go to create a better person for tomorrow? What kind of people are we going to leave the earth to? What kind of people are we going to leave this world to? And I want my kids to be people who can contribute to society positively. I want them to be that. And I don't feel like there are certain places that they get that. So sometimes she's totally right. Parents really have to be really active, and we really have to step up. But, I mean, you know, it's an absence of that sometimes. We see that everywhere.
That's
you
right.
know, people are tired. They I work two jobs and this and that.
Exactly.
And once again, it goes back to the village. It's somebody. We have to absolutely step up and get involved in the lives of each other's children. We have to do that. We have to
yes,
get back
ma'am.
To a place where the neighbor can chastise the kid because it comes from a place of love. It's not like I'm just beating your kid because I'm just mean and I'm violent. No, it's because I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you, you know, help us. That's what I'm trying to do. It needs to get back to that. And I'm hoping that math can do that, that it can even foster a new dialogue between women, between mothers, about the way that we raise our children and the things that we do with them.
That's right. And the image that the image
exactly.
we project to them.
Exactly.
Because you know, mother is the first image and the highest level of respect that any
yes.
child is ever going to level at another human being. And
mm-hmm.
if they don't honor and respect mother, it's not going to happen in any other interaction that they have. They're not going to treat their wife better than their mother. They're not going to treat their husband
mm-hmm.
better than they saw their mother allowing herself to be treated in the marketplace, in the workplace, in the church,
yes,
the mosque, wherever. There has to be. I love that. That dialogue has got to start taking place among black women.
Yes, it really does.
Now, does MASC, do you all have a website yet? I know you all are new.
Yes, we have a website. We have a website.
Okay.
It's getbehindthemasc.
All right.
.org.
Okay. So that's getbehindthemasc.org. And we're going to post that on all our mediums and keep that in front of everybody.
And
Sister Tamar, you are phenomenal.
Thank you so much, Dr. Muhammad. We will have you back on
after the event in June, and you can just keep us posted, because I'm really tired of seeing our young people wearing these RIP rest in peace shirts.
We're
going
to put an end to that.
Yeah, that's got
to
stop. They're too young.
We have to tap into the power of the mother. That's what it's going to take.
Amen.
It's going to take,
thank
you
so
much, a firm hand with a loving heart. Thank you
all
so
right.
much for having me, Dr. Muhammad.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Oh, beautiful. Sister Tamar Manasseh and Brother Terrence, Dr. Ridgey, we're going to keep up with our sister, MASC. That's M-A-S-K, Mothers Against Senseless Killing. Website, getbehindthemasc.org. I mean, let's just make it happen. And
right.
So what we're getting ready to do, and Dr. Ridgey, you probably haven't heard this yet because you don't have time for comedy.
No, he doesn't.
So I'm trying to prepare myself for your reaction to this. But I am, and it dovetails, Brother Terrence, right off of what Sister Tamar said about black women, you know, as mothers, and how we handle our children, you know, being vigilant. And so I'm going to play, and I thank Sister Rona and Brother Ashad for making this happen. I'm going to play a clip from Saturday Night Live, two Saturdays ago, and the writer, this is a staff writer by the name of Leslie Jones. After a lot of pressure, you know, they've added one black female to the cast, and they also have a black female staff writer. And so just to set it up, this is Leslie Jones, a black woman who is playing a character on a segment of Saturday Night Live entitled Weekend News. And so let's go ahead and take a listen to that.
This week, Lupita Nyong'o was named the most beautiful person in the world by People magazine. Here with her thoughts is our in-house image expert, Leslie Jones.
Woo! Thank you very much, Colin. Hello, everybody. I wanted to come out here tonight and congratulate Lupita on winning People's Most Beautiful Person, and I agree that she is very beautiful. But for me, personally, I'm waiting for them to put out the most useful list. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where I'm going to shine.
Most useful?
That's what I said, you delectable Caucasian. Let me ask you a question. If you walked in a club and you saw me and Lupita standing at the bar, who would you pick?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. You would pick Lupita.
Wow.
But let me ask you this. If you was in the parking lot and three Crips is about to whoop your ass, who you gonna pick then?
I would pick you.
You're damn right you would. And that's my point. The way we view black beauty has changed. Look at me. See, I'm single right now. But back in the slave days, I would have never been single. I'm 6 feet tall and I'm strong, Colin. Strong! I mean, look at me. I'm a Mandingo.
Leslie, you're not saying you'd rather be a slave,
no,
right?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I do not want to be a slave. Hell, I don't like working for you white people right now. And y'all pay me. just saying that back in the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Master would have hooked me up with the best brother on the plantation. And every 9 months, I'd be in the corner having a super baby. Every 9 months. Every 9 months, I'd just be in the corner just popping them out. Just Shaq. Kobe. LeBron. Tempo Slice. Would be the number one slave draft pick. All of the plantations would want me. I'd be on television like LeBron announcing which plantation I was going to go to. I would be like, I'd like to take my talents to South Carolina. I do believe that there's going to be a lot of opportunities there for me. Now, I can't even get a brother to take me out for a cheap dinner. I mean, damn, can a bitch get a beef bowl?
Well, is everybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm here. First time I heard that. I love it.
Yes. Yes. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with you, Dr. Ridgely, but I want the listeners to know that they should call. We have a lineup already, but 347-324-5091. I heard it for the first time Saturday, and played it on VON Sunday, and it took me a good day to recover from what I was hearing. But I'm not going to, I don't want to preempt. I want to hear from you all, and I want to start with our contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely.
Well, you know, one thing about comedians can get away with telling the truth. And get paid for it. I mean, she was just telling the truth about what it would be like if she was in slavery, considering her attributes. And the issue is why are not her attributes considered worthy now? Well, you know, the brothers can't afford to take care of themselves, much less raise children. So you have men running away from responsibility because after the Million Man March, they went about a system in America to shut America down. America has been shut down on top of the black man and woman, and the poor black woman now is running, thinking that she can get some play with some white boys because her black man, she says, is sorry, can't do anything for her. Well, black men ain't got no jobs. And the whole system of diseducation has caused us all to be very stupid. So, you know, she was just portraying the reality of what is in a very funny way. And, you know, that's my opinion.
All right. Brother Terrence, did you have something before I go further?
I know I really wanted to wait to hear, but, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, you can take this from two different perspectives. You can take it like, how dare she? How dare she? How dare she? And I don't know her, so I don't know if she was that skilled enough or the writer that skilled enough to make something seemingly funny, disrespectful, and actually highlight some truth that Dr. Ridgely said, just listening from his perspective. It's funny how she equated putting two bucks, you know, slaves together to produce more money for them. But, you know, it's funny if we look at the latest edition of The Final Call or the last edition talking about the new slavery, you know, that's literally what's going on now with some parents pushing their children into, you know, they're saying institution where they have a better living and a better condition, but we now see million-dollar slaves where they are being produced, these children are being produced and raised for the sole purpose of going into these companies, NFL, NBA, and all of that, and they're actually million-dollar slaves. So it's, you know, it's a funny satire, and there's some deep stuff behind that. Like I said, we can get upset, but just like we got upset with Donald Sterling for saying what he said, I've always said, I'm glad he said it. Thank you. Keep talking. Because as long as you talk, right, I know where you stand. It's the ones that don't talk and come around and be your friend and hug you that are doing stuff to you that you have no clue about.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll say this before I go to the lines, and then in about 5 minutes, I'm going to step away to a conference call, a real quick one, and brother, my capable, brilliant co-host, Brother Terrence, will keep it going, and I'll be back maybe 10 minutes after that. I will say I'm one of those how dare she horrified people mm-hmm. in the audience. I am appalled. The first thing that struck me, and I'm also going to suggest people go on YouTube because you have to get the visual when you see her. She's a very strong, heavy set, large sister, and her hair is standing straight up in the air like a person who stuck their hand in an electrical socket. And she's leaning over onto the anchor of this weekend news, who's a small-built Caucasian male, whom she referred to as delectable. I can't fathom, and Lauren Michaels, the creator of Saturday Night Live and who's still around, still produces it, is from Israel. He's an Israeli Jew. Just about everybody, like everything else in the industry, is controlled by Jewish people. I can't fathom in a million lifetimes Saturday Night Live having a Jewish woman come on that show and sit there and make mockery of the Holocaust.
That's right.
I cannot fathom a Jewish woman talking about being used as a breeder by the Germans to refer to rape as love life, because she said my love life would have been much better. You know, like right now I'm single, but and then she said Massa. You know, in other words, the white man, God, he would have found and put with her the very best of the men, and that every 9 months she would give birth to a, in her words, super baby, like a horse or a cow.
Right.
And I just can't fathom Asians, Jews, anybody. I can't imagine anybody on this planet finding humor in what we went through. Where I do see now the value of it is that she did that, and it shows me the mentality of Negroes, where we are. And I'm like you, Brother Terrence, in the sense that I don't know. She's a staff writer. I don't know if she thought this up herself to ingratiate herself to the show, or if one of them dropped this on her, but I've been seeing Saturday Night Live off and on for well over 30 years. I've never seen anything even and they're known for, I mean, one thing about that show, it's an in-your-face show that does take reality and bring it through mockery, but there are, to me, certain things that are off limits, and this is one of them. But the connection I do see in terms of using comedy to speak the truth, what is true is there's a great connection between the chattel slavery and the NBA, because she referred to herself as the number one draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if she intended it to have that connection, but that is the connection I intend to, everywhere I go, starting with Washington, D.C. this weekend, I'm going to be making that connection everywhere I speak, because to me, the NBA is a perfect microcosm of the plantation centered around the buying and selling of flesh, black flesh. So, Brother Terrence, Sister Rona, I think, will open up the calls for you. And I'm going to step away. We got a line of people, and I know that they got some all sorts of perspectives. That's why I love Elevated Places. So So I will be back as soon as I can. All right.
All right. So while we're waiting on Sister Ava to come back, and I'm waiting on to get the list of callers that are in queue, I do want to go back, and I know Dr. Ridgely has something to add. I do agree with what Dr. Ava just said, is that we know that the Jewish community would not allow, you know, that kind of reflection of the Holocaust to be said or tolerated. So I wonder, you know, what is it about us that talk about our history as though it's a joke, and even to the point that we want to even forget it, but other people don't do the same. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, number one, we're finding out that the Holocaust actually did not happen, and you're correct. You cannot say anything about even that it did not exist. It was a fake. The Holocaust was a fake. We found out more and more that the people did not die from gas chamber. They died from typhoid and being starved to death because the Americans cut off the food in Germany, But the issue of slavery is something that is so horrendous that to think that God would allow that to happen puts an image in the black people's mind that God must be white to allow that to happen. So as a form of relief to laugh about it is a form of relief considering that you're not going to do anything about it. So a lot of times we get upset about something, but then we don't intend to do anything about it, so we just act like it didn't happen. So someone brings this up, it upsets us, but the question is, what are we going to do about it? The only solution is to get up and do something for yourself, is to build your own communities and to get away from the white man's world. He has Saturday Night Live. He has everything else. He has all the programming, all the media. Everything we get is coming from him because we have accepted integration and refused to do something for ourselves, so we are left out there at his behest and what he can present to us. Why can't we have our own? We don't want to have our own because it's too much hard work. I'm down here on the farm, and I know why we don't want to be free, because it's too much hard work. So then we get insulted when Massa insults us. Well, leave Massa then. We don't want to leave Massa because Massa makes it easier for us, and we do not want to work hard anymore. We have been tricked into a position of being a volunteer slave.
Mm. Dr. Ridley, you just hit on some very key points, and I want to come back to that, and especially the volunteer slave and hard work. So I want to, but I want to go ahead straight to the phone lines. I think we're going to have enough callers before Dr. Ava comes back. But we have that wonderful, wonderful scholar, comedian, and our powerful, powerful brother, Dr. Salam. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum. Also known as Flight Lieutenant. And my beautiful brother, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Thank you, brothers. And brother, thank you for sharing what you did, Dr. Ridgely. That was on point, and that gives us something to really think about. Wasn't the sister that was on a few minutes ago, was that Sister Tamara?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that sister really hit on something. And my brother over in South Carolina, Brother Mark Muhammad, always said, we need to go after these babies, these young ones, because these youngsters, these babies are being birthed with a different kind of spirit than what we had. I mean, these youngsters, even at 5, 6, 7, and 8 years old, they don't fear anything. But I want to share with you what a 10-year-old mentioned in a group when I was talking to some young men that was in the Missouri area. And they were handpicked students from a school. And some of them were elected to speak for 5 minutes, and others were for a shorter period of time. But I want to recite something that a 10-year-old kind of cornered me and said to me. He said, brother, I'm 10 years old. He said, there isn't anything out here today favoring a happy day. Mm. He said, hell lives in our souls. I like you, older brother. You say Minister Farrakhan is 81 years old. Wow. That is young. And his face proves that that's young. I want to eat what he eats and look young like my old in my old age, like him. Now, this is a 10-year-old, and it shocked me because he said it in front of a lot of people. And that just shows you how valuable these young people are that's coming along now. But we got to be better examples of, you know, what we should be to them. If we love each other like we say, we should be willing to take a bullet for someone who's on post, maybe higher than we are. Our brother is worthy of that. And who is our brother? Every believer that's acting as a believer. I know two brothers that I love and admire that I would take a bullet for, and I'm talking to both of them now. Also, Brother David Muhammad out in Atlantic City, New Jersey, he's worthy of that to me. He founded the Peacekeepers. He's a warrior. Brother Mark Muhammad in South Carolina, who saved my mother from a gang fight. This brother dove over a rail on a bus on four Crip gangsters to get them off of my mother. And I gave that brother the key to my house, my mother's house, and he dined with my mother many times. That's the kind of love that we got to have. And I thank Sister Tamara for coming on to mention these babies. And I thank both of you for what you really do. Dr. Risley, I just don't know what to say about you and Sister Ann. And the more and more I look and search for land, there's land available all over this country. Some land is I call first-rate land. I don't know the name for it, and right. Other may not be. But I think you and Sister Ann, I don't know what we'd do without y'all, because I'm hearing of two or three different people that's moving there. And I just think that's beautiful. And, Terrence, you know what I think about you. I call you Flight Lieutenant. I'm always do that. in my old age, I know how to run when I have to. But I want you to know that I really appreciate Elevated Places and the work that you're all doing. I'll hang up and listen. I'm
like. Well, thank you, brother. Don't hang up for a minute, brother.
Okay.
Hold on. I wanted to get back to that statement you made about the young boy, when he said, what he said about hell, I mean, what did he say about I'm in hell?
These are his words. He said, there isn't anything out here today favoring a happy day. Hell lives in our souls. I like you, older brother. You say Minister Farrakhan is 81 years old.
Let's stop right there. He says that hell is where?
Lives in our souls. This is a 10-year-old.
Now, if a 10-year-old has that feeling about life and he has, in fact, absorbed the negativity of this world into his soul, then, of course, he would kill with no remorse.
That's right.
Okay? So this leads to what the problem, the mask, and Sister Tamara is trying to deal with, but let's deal with the root. And the root is the hopelessness that this young person feels about his future.
That's right.
So unless we deal with that state of hopelessness and actually present for that person a future, then that person is prone to do what he has done. Now, he does see light. He has a ability to see light and understand light when he sees you and he sees Minister Farrakhan. He can see the light. But who's going to bring the light to him? Because it's not just about some talk. Somebody's got to build something for that young person to believe in that they can fit into. There will be a better world that he is living in now. And the only thing we seem to do is complain to white folks about the hell that they produce, and they're doing exactly what they intended to do, pushing hell down into the soul of our young people. Now, when we had our own schools, we had a better way of dealing with that because they could see future. The teachers lived in the black community. The doctors lived in the black community. I had a black hospital. Now there's nothing good that they see in the black community except a way to get out of it. So until we deal with the reality that we have left them with, let's not point the finger at them. Let's point the finger at us, the lost generation, my generation. I'm 63, 64 now, the lost generation who went off to college to get an education, but all they found there was basic training at the plantation. And we went out plantation to plantation, leaving our communities behind. And then now we wonder what's going on with our communities. We left our communities. That's why our communities went to hell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you and I are exactly the same age, dear soldier.
Yes, sir.
And I know the white lieutenant is half our age,
right.
But we love him anyway.
Many of us didn't.
Oh, I ain't that far back.
Well, Dr. Risley, I wish you could have recorded that, and I hope you can say that again at some point, because you nailed it. But that young brother touched my heart, brother, in a way that I had to recite this. A 10-year-old.
Yes, that's powerful.
Well, look, brother. Thank you so much for giving me the extra time, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Brother Salam. And I think one of the things that we're going to go to, we got a bunch of callers waiting, but I do want to say that that's why our work is in a community, going back in the streets, because our young people need examples. And when they see Minister Farrakhan, that is one example, but we need to be his examples for every community that they can't physically see him. We need to reach our young people, and as Dr. Ridley said, something caused that when a sister has to come over, organization called MASS, is because there's a root cause of the reason why they're doing this, and we hear from that 10-year-old what's going on in his soul that's causing the violence that we see in our communities. But we have the next caller, and I hope I get your name right, Sister Olu. I'm not sure if I'm saying that. Next caller, Olu, welcome to the bottom line.
Yes, Sister Olu.
I'm getting elevated places.
Salaamu Alaikum.
Yeah,
this is Sister Ula.
Ula.
Yes,
Ula.
Thank you, sir. Praise to Allah. It's the Holy Quran, 1206. But I wanted to thank Dr. Wrigley personally because of his the flour that I've been purchasing for him. Now I don't eat any white flour, white sugar. I use nothing but natural whole wheat products. I think I got about 200 pounds in the last year from Dr. Wrigley of the whole wheat flour.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Thank
praise
you.
Praise to Allah. I thank you because thanks to the farming, I don't eat any junk food anymore, no white sugar, no snacks, candy bars, any of that stuff. And praise
to Allah.
Praise to Allah. Also, I wanted to say this. I'm sorry that Sister Ava's not on, but the school that I attended to get my bachelor's degree, they had a program where the government gave the city of Cleveland millions of dollars, and they wanted to know how that money could be used. So they asked us social work students what we thought, and I suggested that we have a gun buyback program, which they did, all praise to Allah. They implemented that program, and they were able to pay the people so much money for each gun and take them off the streets. Salaam alaikum.
Alaykum
salaam. And I do want to make correct myself. This is Elevated Places. Elevated Places. We want to make sure you call in at 347-324-5091. And Dr. Ridge, I know you have something to say, but it's interesting. I remember someone saying, we're going to leave everything white alone. We'll leave the white woman alone, white sugar, white bread, white anything that's processed. And actually, that's the good thing, because we do know that one of the most, or if not the most powerful drug, is not necessarily the powder cocaine or the weed, but that white sugar and that refined sugar that we have such a hard time getting off of. So somebody might be a recovering drug addict, but that number one drug is that white refined sugar.
Well, that's right. In fact, you know, sugar was considered a drug at one time, and it was very hard to get. And, of course, that's one of the major reasons we were brought over here in slavery, was to produce this sugar to go back to Europe to satisfy their craving for sugar. So, and the refining, what they do in the refining process is really makes it into a very addictive type of poison. And, of course, now they've even gone further with the high fructose corn syrup made out of corn, but broken down to the point that that's not having the glucose, it's all fructose, and the liver can't handle it, and it's straight up poison. So through our taste buds, they're killing us. So we have to learn how to fight the convenience of getting stuff prepackaged, pre-cooked, pre-baked for us, and go back to doing something for ourselves called Meet Me Halfway, in terms of we produce the flour, if you can do the cooking, we appreciate it, save your life, and save the land.
That's right, and I think one of the key points Dr. Ridger said, one of the key points he said, and cook, and I think the sister said she's preparing, not only is she getting products from the farm, but she's also preparing it in her home. So we want to welcome Brother Lewis. Brother Lewis, welcome to Elevated Places. You're on there. Brother Lewis? Brother Lewis.
I had a problem with his line before.
All right. Well, we're going to come back to Brother Lewis.
Can you hear me, brother? Can you hear me?
There you go. There you go.
Assalamu alaikum. How y'all doing?
Assalamu alaikum.
Good to hear from y'all. Really enjoying the show. I wanted to say something as it relates to something the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He said that you don't have to condemn a glass. You could just put a clean glass next to a dirty glass, and the people would choose the clean glass.
That's right.
But we have to make fight adjustments. And we have to understand that we can't put a clean glass next to a dirty toilet with people constantly throwing and dumping on the toilet. At this point, when something becomes a toilet, you have to do what Dr. Ridgely just said earlier. We have to be separated in order to be purified. Now, as I was listening to that clip that Sister Ava played earlier, and y'all played it, it really is making my blood boil, because here's the thing. No other people would tolerate somebody mocking something as serious as slavery and the Black Holocaust. When you see Donald Sterling throwing Magic Johnson up under the bus, we don't need to run to Magic's aid, because Magic is the chief element of closing down all of the black theaters around the country. And the thing about it is that all of these handkerchiefs, these Negroes who promote, like Magic Johnson, he promotes homosexual rappers, and so does Lil Wayne. There's a video all over YouTube, and I know you know the one I'm talking about, Brother Terrence.
Yes, sir.
Shake That Boy, and I won't say it on Elevated Places, where some black men are stripped down, shaking and grinding, doing what women wouldn't do. And they intend to make all black men in the next 20 years homosexuals or promosexuals in the future. We have no future here. We have to be separated. As it relates to doing something for self, we must keep in mind the context of doing for self. When you do something for self, like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the enemy slanders you, and the enemy will outright murder you for doing for self, like he did Gaddafi and any other person who was doing something for self. So the thing of it is that there are so many of us in pain every day going out to try to do something for self. And we really, I don't know how much more we can stand of this, because whenever you do something for self, the enemy is always lurking to take what you got, the way they took that cotton from Dr. Ridgely the first year that he planted it. We want to be separated, and we're not trying to say this in the closet. We're saying it openly, that we no longer want to be with this disagreeable people to be with, and we don't want to play around anymore. When you start seeing Russell Simmons playing around with Harriet Tubman, who's a sacred woman, a righteous woman, and not a promiscuous, loose woman. We don't like Russell Simmons. And there's nobody who can make us like Russell Simmons. I don't care who done that, because you can't be free if you won't whip the mulatto or whoever it is the master is telling to whip the slaves on the plantation. And these Negro leaders are whipping us and been whipping us for a long time, and we've been silent about it. I'm saying now we can't afford to be silent because they're killing us. And I'm somebody who has young children, and I can see what kind of future the intent. I'm going to say this in closing. As a young person right now, can you imagine what Thanksgiving dinner would be like in 20 years? One of the children come in with a homo, the other one come in with a white woman, and another one come in with a dog who's into bestiology, and you're sitting in a corner because you didn't obey the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan. What we need to do is write Minister Farrakhan and repent and say that we didn't follow him soon enough and repent to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for going for this integration garbage when he offered us heaven at once. And so I'm enjoying the show, brothers, and I hope y'all
join you.
Good work. We really
join
love
you.
The show, and everybody should get Sister Ava, Dr. Ridgely, and Brother Terrence in their city. And we should have live town hall meetings on separation and what integration, what 40 years of integration has done to us, because we're victims of integration. Thank you.
That's right.
Assalamu alaikum.
I would just make one correction just to get Sister Ava and Dr. Ridgely to y'all city. I was just over here as a co-host. And I do agree with Brother Lewis said about putting that clean glass up so people can see it, and that's the one thing. You may have your light, but as the Bible said, let your light so shine, don't hide it under a bushel, or don't put it behind the toilet. So let your light shine so people can be drawn to it and go to it. And I also want to say, and I think Dr. Ridger may agree with me, I want us to get into the point of saying our sojourn here at the Holocaust. Because we know Mr. Farrakhan, the English language teaches us that the is the definite article. And every time we need to break out of the shackles of seeing a particular Holocaust as the Holocaust, when we know the suffering of black people in the hills of North America was much worse and longer, just that we don't have to say a black Jesus because Jesus was black. You don't have to say that. You know, nobody has to say that's black to Brother Terrence. I'm already black. So I would want us to start looking at our sojourn as the one that has such a major impact not only on us but on the situation that's going on in the world. We have Sister Dara.
Assalamualaikum. I'm back. You all keep going.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I thought you were Sister Dara that was coming on. Well, yes, ma'am. Sister Ava is back. Sister Dara, welcome to Elevated Places.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
You're live.
Oh, I'm Sister Della.
Della.
Sister Della.
Man, I'm
yes.
killing it. Della.
See?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum.
Oh, I'm nervous. Okay. I was going to make a comment. I was going to make a comment on, hey, y'all, Elevated Places, you want to come here? I was going to make a comment. I'm trying to get my children in here. I was going to make a comment on what you said, Sister Ava Muhammad, about the other cultures in regards to that comedian.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I kind of took it, like, on another scale of she's letting it be known that, you know, the other cultures, they have their males, and we're lacking our males as black females. So kind of like in slavery days, we kind of had more action, even though it was brutal action, we still had more males. It's just no selection of males. It's not enough males for the black woman.
Yes, ma'am. Let me approach it this way. You know, we have to be careful of yielding to the presentation of the slave master's children of our reality. See, when we are told there are not enough men, and numerically speaking, there are more male infants born than females. There's more males, and that includes black males. That's statistically true at birth. The issue is what happens to those males? Where do they go? So that as we move through life, the numbers drop as we get older and older.
Correct.
Death, incarceration,
mm-hmm.
homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
A nation can rise no higher than its woman. Who has the first, for lack of a better phrase, shot? The development of a black man into the fulfillment of his purpose. Every black male ever born came here through the womb of a female. The first sound he hears, the first voice, is the voice of his mother. She is the one who puts in his brain his image of himself, of his God, of his purpose in life. So if we want men, we need to rear men. Where there are no decent women, there are no decent men. And so to allow ourselves to even think in the realm of imagination that there is anything about slavery, about chattel slavery, that is an improvement over our current condition means that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said all along, separation is the best and only solution. Integration is sin, because only living under an enemy could we even formulate the thought that there is any iota of anything positive about being a slave and being forced to have a sexual intercourse with a man you don't know, and he being forced to have it with you, and you producing a child that is thereafter taken and sold into slavery to have the same nightmarish life. This is why everybody needs to see 12 Years a Slave. I read the book when I was in high school. You need to go see the visual. And that's just one life. This young girl that the actress who won Best Actress played, her life was such hell that she begged a fellow slave to kill her. Because by day she was picking cotton, and by night she was the white man's piece of meat.
Sorry.
You go ahead.
Well, the only thing to that caveat is that, like Brother Dr. Salam stated about this young 10-year-old brother saying that he has hell in his soul. Now, we know about the hell of slavery, but yet after slavery, at least black folks stood up to do something for self. Now, we got hell and don't know where it's coming from. This enemy, Satan, is so slick that he has us thinking we are free, and yet we suffer hell in our own soul. We have to separate,
wow,
because this is a scientist,
yes,
at destruction. Why is it? Yes, back in slavery, yes, you had males with females. Why? Because they were producing slaves for the plantation. But Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us that the white man has no more need for us. Therefore, that's why the black woman cannot find a decent man, because the man is being destroyed, because the white man intends to destroy the black race. He doesn't need us anymore. He got robots. He got computers.
That's
so
right.
If we do not pick up and do something for ourselves, we will continue to be eliminated, because the only thing that we can do for him is play ball, sing and dance, and shake our booties to make him have some entertainment. We have to get him out of here. Because we are destined, pointed towards destruction, and we have to admit that we was fooled. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, don't go for this last trick. Don't go for this last trick. Don't go for integration. We bit it hook, line, and sinker, and that's why we sunk.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
And just for the record, talking about slave masters, USA Today just released, just sent out in an email or alert that Donald Sterling sent a letter to the NBA that he would not be paying the $2.5 million in fines.
I love Sterling. I mean, let him talk. You know, let him. He needs to have a program. You know, I call him the secret relator between blacks and Jews. He's really letting us have it, letting us know what they think about us. They thought this way all along. They're the ones who brought us over here in slavery anyway. And one day I'm going to really get into the history of these people who call themselves Jews, because it goes back thousands of years, because these people know who we are and intend to wipe us out.
That's right. So I think we're almost getting down to the last about 10 minutes. Brother Sydney, welcome to Elevated Places.
Sir, Assalamu alaikum, ma'am. How y'all doing?
Alaikum salam.
Wow. Yes, I was thinking about that comedian who came out with that skit that she did.
Yes, sir.
But it had me thinking about how the black man and woman had to survive with the poorest of food by the white man, by accepting chitlins and pig feet and pig skins and all these other nasty animals as raccoons and possums and so forth. And so the black woman, she didn't want the child to be frowning up at a good meal or a meal anyway, so she had to make it out of a household dinner and call it something that they can pretty much think that it's good for them. So anyway, with that, it's like we fighting that mentality today because we know better now, but we want to sit around here and pretend that we don't, a lot of people, not all of us, but some of us, as if we're not fighting these modern-day Uncle Toms and this daddy who would rather see their child suffer and see the white woman's child raised up and be better than her child. And one more thing, I had bought a DVD on a movie called Goodbye, Uncle Tom. Now, when
right.
I first saw that movie, that DVD, I said, oh, man, that's terrible. Look at this, look at this. And the brother told me, he said, this is what Allah want to show you, that these people have done to us this kind of brutal treatment, and we must open our eyes to this as a mm-hmm. blessing, because now we can learn more from this and grow for ourselves to be better by Allah's permission.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Sydney, so much. Appreciate your wonderful comments. And, you know, like you said, Dr. Rizzi, Donald Sterling, just keep talking, please. I hope they don't silence him anytime soon.
Come on.
I don't know if you all mention it or are aware of it. When I was off the line, I wanted to mention there's another thing Donald Sterling says in the interview with Anderson Cooper,
yeah.
about
yeah.
The loans that Jews make to each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you all familiar with that?
I heard
yeah,
that.
I'm glad you brought it up. I forgot
okay.
all about it.
Yes, in addition to the comment about Jews help each other and basically keep their wealth among themselves, confirming the secret relations. As if that wasn't just gold star A+, I just knew I had a diamond in my repertoire. Well, he came now with, like, the ultimate 20-carat pure cut when he said, the Jews, we have a company that any Jew who has need of money to start a business, we will loan him money interest-free.
Mm-hmm. Sharia law.
And to help him get started, and hopefully, and I'm paraphrasing, but hopefully he'll pay us back one day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it goes to Brother Sidney's point about Negroes and refusal to deal with reality. See, Allah is going to push and push and push. And as the messenger said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, he's going to make us separate. He is pushing this so in our face.
Yes.
The
secret relationships between blacks and Jews has been endorsed by Donald Sterling. And
yeah, right.
Through him, the Jewish leadership, because he said, you know, number one, we take care of each other. Okay?
That's right.
You
That's,
don't.
Now,
and secondly,
now look at this.
Go ahead.
He threw this on, it's on the Negroes now. You know what I mean? It doesn't come from Farrakhan. This came from the
no.
Jew's mouth. Now, this
right
on y'all
up.
Now. He's saying, how come y'all don't do for your people what we do for ours?
Hey, that's what he said.
What he said.
That's what he said. And he accused magic. So he already opened the door so that we can just call the rest of the list.
That's right.
You know, Oprah, what's happening? What's up? Okay?
Well,
see, and we're not talking about a basketball court magic. We're not talking about you opening up a community center. We want to do what Donald Sterling said the Jews do.
That's right.
Look at what he said. He didn't say we have a company where we loan poor people money.
Right.
He said we loan other Jews.
That's right.
And
that's right.
He said interest-free. Well, how are they able? How are they able to do this?
Well, you know,
because
look,
they charge us
interest. Come on.
On
and you
loan, and they loan us our own money that
money.
They
right.
suck out of our community with their retail outlets.
Well, you know,
that's right. And that goes back to things you said, Sister Ava, that we have to revisit secret relationships between blacks and Jews. It's not one of those books you just put down, you read it and you put it down, but it is playing out right today. That's why we say, you know, Allah is the best of planners. You know, we know man plans, but Allah is the best of planners. So as we're really, I don't think any of us would have known that this little scandal about this racism, Donald Sterling, would have brought out what he's saying about the Jews. Now, who would ever
right.
thought that the whole issue of the Jews and what we're doing in our community, because actually black people are looking at the part where he's talking about black people. I ain't doing nothing. But for the Jews, for him to even say he is a white people, and he made a distinction by saying Jews, and he's in California
yes,
saying this, and the whole world
yes,
is
did.
Listening to that. So like you said, Dr. Riz, you said, like, I hope they let him keep talking. I really
oh
want to see how
I
long
pray
they
for
will
him.
Let him
yes.
keep talking.
I mean,
I pray for him.
It's a reality show every day. But look,
I said that today. I wish he had a
said.
Show.
You know, that's what Mr. Farrakhan said now. Now, you know, Mr. Farrakhan was explaining how come people like Russell Simmons and Mr. Johnson, how come they sell out? See, they sell out
yes.
because when they come to them, they come with an offer and a threat.
That's
right.
right.
These Negroes are afraid to tell the truth, that they know that if they do put money behind something that the Jews and other white folks don't like, they or somebody in their family will go missing.
Yes,
that's
and
right.
see, having been given, yeah, having been given the green light by Donald, we have to go after our people to force them to give this up.
That's
see,
right.
Because
that's
otherwise,
right.
you're going to be left with a label of being selfish and self-indulgent and stupid.
That's right.
Because the man said, when you make a dollar, you just keep it.
That's right.
You don't do anything for your community. So now
right.
you better explain why.
Right. That's right.
And now we have to say, as you said, as the minister's been saying for 50 years, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad before him, see, there's an impediment to our ability.
Come on.
To share our wealth. But we're down to 6 minutes, and I want to get to Sister Pamela, who's been holding
right.
for a lot of callers tonight. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Walaikum salam, everyone. How are you all?
Good to have your brilliant mind on the line.
All praise due to Allah. You know, I'm really enjoying this. About Donald Sterling, I think that's his name. You know, I
yes.
just thought he really showed that they had no fear of any kind of reprisal, with his attack on Magic Johnson. I mean, you know, okay, we don't necessarily care about Magic, but it's almost like if you hit a child at school and then the teacher comes and says, well, you hit this child, that's wrong. I mean, he just hit him again because they don't have any, you know, test on what we'll tolerate. Like Dr. Ridgely said, I mean, what are we going to do? You know, what's
that's
the black
right.
community going to do? And then the last thing I just wanted to say with the sister and the children, it reminds me of what Brother Terrence, I think, said about 12 Years a Slave, where the lady just kept crying. She just kept crying. She would not allow them to take her children and accept that. And that's what we have to, you know, have that mindset. We can't
yes.
just let them take our children. It just can't go down like that. And that's what that
that's
sister
right.
in 12 Years a Slave showed with her protest. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you for doing what y'all do.
Oh.
We love y'all.
I love you back, and thank you for that insight. Mm-hmm. And that's an excellent observation. This manifests the arrogance, the God self-image, the contempt toward us in the Jewish community, that he can just sit there and talk like that with the utmost comfort. Now, you claim, Mr. Sterling claimed, well, the things he said to this woman. Now you're talking to CNN, and you're worse. You're worse.
Okay. He just keeps on giving. Sterling just keeps on giving.
What a gift from Allah. And you notice now when you go back and study these interviews, whenever he goes down that Jewish community road, the anchor, the interviewer steers him away. Because they're all Jews, too. You know, and so I know they're sitting there saying, oh, my God, he didn't say this.
He's spilling the beans.
And then when they put on the short clips for public consumption, they cut that stuff off. Because I guarantee you, he goes a lot deeper. And of course, he called the woman... Miss Steviano, whatever, he called her a street person. he said she's a street person, but she's a good person. And then, of course, Magic, he just really railed on Magic. And see, the thing about it is, if you listen to white liberal media, they're offended because he insulted Magic, the individual. Magic is a nice guy. Magic smiles all the time. All of those code words about the good Negro, and I'm not saying I'm with that, and I'm not saying that in judgment of him, but let's face it, he's the teeth are always showing.
That's right.
Always happy. In his interview, Magic calls Sterling a young man and calls his adulterous relationship with this woman, calls her the love of his life. Dude, he has a wife, okay?
Come on.
You know, so...
Right.
Whoa!
Come on.
And that's the other thing. I can't wait till they attack the domestic life. I
oh
can't
goodness.
Wait.
Mm.
So they...
On.
You talk about a gift. I mean, isn't it fascinating? They're just talking about this adulterous relationship, like it's just so super okay.
If nobody's mentioned that.
Nobody
like,
is saying
in the
word.
Oh my God.
Well, it's called,
this is normal.
I love it.
Well, it is normal. It's called white marriage.
Right.
And
right.
It's called white marriage. And the other part about it is usually not just it's not a mistress on the side, but a mister on the side.
Right. Say that, Doc. Say that. It's so true.
Well, we're down. We gotta go because we're down to 90 seconds. This is just so good. Let's put a pin in this. Let's pick this back up. The gift that keeps on giving. We thank Allah over and over for Donald Sterling's mouth and helping to bring to fruition the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's declaration. Quote, Allah will make you separate. So may Allah bless all of us. Thank you, Elevated Places team. And Allah willing, we'll all be back together next week. May Allah bless us. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.